public hearings or adoptions this evening. Public hearing hardship street opening for 114 South Portland Avenue. That'll happen in our formal session of our commission. Then we have resolutions 2020-057 through 092. Only one of them will be taken out, item Z. We have to table that until we have the mayor here to vote, and we will do that next month. So real brief, I'm going to try and get through these quick. So resolution 057 for refund of water sewer overpayment. 58 is accepting resignation of Anthony Santoro. 59, accepting resignation of Joseph Welsh. These are firemen that are moving back to Atlantic City. 060 from Ronald Laielli. And 061 from Joshua Murillo Suarez. Later on in the agenda, you'll see that we're hiring three new firemen here back to fill those back spaces. Resolution 062 is the execution of a tax abatement continuation agreement with 111 North Martindale Avenue. 063 is a street opening hardship permit for block 27, lot 1.03, 116 South Stratford Avenue on behalf of contractor Ben Chapman. 064, also a hardship opening for Mr. Chapman on block 18, lot 11.02, 5900 Boardwalk. 065 is for municipal solid waste and bulky waste recycling, collection and roll-off pull parts, purchase shared services agreement. 066 is authorizing use of competitive contracting for the procurement of solar power purchase agreement. That was the result of a joint project with the city of Margate to provide energy efficiency for both communities, municipal buildings, and schools. So, just so you're aware of that. 067, tax abatement continuation agreement, block 135, lot 9, condo C0002, also known as 113 North Martindale. 068 is charges and fees for the year 2020 for the Recreation Department of the City of Ventnor. 069, authorizing shared services with Atlantic County Utilities Authority with digital media consulting services. 070, authorizing approval to submit an application and execute agreement for the Community-Oriented Policing Services Grant. And here's the firefighters. So we have 071, authorizing the hiring of a firefighter for the City of Ventnor. Resolution 072, authorize the hiring of Larry Huff for the Public Works Department. These are backfill positions, not new positions. Awarding a bid of Resolution 073, awarding a bid for window replacement, miscellaneous building parts. This is for the library. 074, accepting the retirement of Ron Weintraub. Ron is one of our assistants here in City Hall, and he's been here quite a long time. He's a great little asset. He helps a lot of residents out here. If you've ever met Ron, he's just a great personality to have here in the city, and he'll certainly be missed.
Sorry to see you.
Yeah. 075 is adjusting the salary of the Chief Financial Officer, Alex Stanley. 076.
Anniversary date.
Right. First year increase. Right. He went through that.
An annual increase.
Not just a salary. It's not a
random. Right.
Great job, Al. 076 is appointing Sean Clancy as a member of the 2020 Municipal Alliance Committee. Sean's a great resident of the community and was with our, in the county prosecutor's office for years. Does a great job for our community and actually training kids to be detectives. He has a detective school as well, so. 077 is awarding El Ferriazzi Concrete to repair three storm drain inlets at Nashville Avenue, Ventnor Avenue, Surrey Avenue, and Winchester, and Harvard Avenue. City of Ventnor not to exceed $19,850. Ed, do we need anything more on that? Is that?
No, that's the three locations, and it's different repairs on each inlet, but the inlets that are
good. All right, resolution 078, authorizing the hire of temporary employee Dina Marie Bonafiglia as a recreation aide. She can help with special event coordination and things of that nature, correct?
Correct.
079, approving self-examination of the 2020 municipal budget. 080 is amending resolution 373 of 2018, Lease a temporary fabric structure for the Ventnor City Fire Department. It's a temporary housing of vehicles. 081 is awarding bid for furnishing and delivering residential cold meters and water meters with the option to renew for one additional year. 82 is going to be tabled until next meeting. 8083, identifying a pool of city engineers. There are engineers for the city who will contract on an as-needed basis, and that will also be a shared services with Ventnor and Margate. We do our engineers in a pool. We have six engineering firms, right, Ed? Six?
I believe there's seven.
Seven this year? Okay. 084 is amending Resolution 337 of 2019, planning, design, and construction, service phase, reconstruction of Hampshire Drive, Balfour Avenue to, from Balfour Avenue to Balfour Avenue, Ventnor City. That does it. Yeah, it loops around. Ed, if you could give me just a brief update on that one, that's where we had the sewer collapse.
Yeah, this is with Mafia?
Yes.
The commission awarded a contract to the Mafia Engineering to do the repaving of Hampshire Avenue. That's a municipal aid grant that we received, funded by a municipal grant. About 2 weeks before we went out to bid on that project, we had a sewer main collapse on that street. Further investigation led that the entire remaining sewer has to be replaced. We want to replace it prior to paving, so we were, our recommendation for the commissioners to amend the engineer's contract to include the design and the contract management and inspection of the sewer replacement, as well as, so add that cost to the contract for design and paving and just contract management.
And it's an efficient way to do it because he's got all the data already.
It's a good way to do it.
Resolution 085 is accepting resignation of Kathleen Gunter. She was a Class 2 police officer. 086, authorizing rejection of bid for the chlorination tablet conversion main plant. Bids just came in way out of our cost range. So we'll have to rethink that and go back after bid. 087 is authorizing no parking during the block party. The spring block party will happen this spring, early May, if I recall.
Yep.
8088 is the authorizing indemnification of Atlantic County for that same block party. That portion of Ventnor Avenue is a county road. 089, authorizing a change order request 1-5 for new construction of firehouse number 2. And from what I understand, this is an increase now, but as we come through some other change orders, that will bring the number back down.
Correct.
It's almost a net zero.
Correct. There's some changes now. That's exactly what you stated there. The end result should be...
Could someone silence that phone, please? It's a little distracting. Thank you. 090, authorized adoption of formal application for special events. Now it's just funny. It's all right. We got to laugh at it.
The ghost.
Right. I know Commissioner Kirby, you've been working a lot. Well, we have new forms. Let's move on. 091, accepting and adopting domestic violence policy for public employees. It's part of our handbook, I'm assuming.
Correct.
Yeah.
092, authorizing bids to be solicited, providing and maintaining exterior advertising on the boardwalk, lifeboats, and business district.
Correct. So that's the way I think to help increase revenue and also computer platforms.
Then we'll go into our bills and payrolls, discussion items. We're going to do them right now. Let's hit those right now while we're on a roll. So the first discussion item is hardship street openings for 5115 Boardwalk. And then there's one right after that, 110 South Melbourne. Mr. Bounce? And Ed can chime in if you need to.
Chris Bales, for the record, I have both of those property owners, Haskell Melbourne and both properties new construction. Water and sewer need to be connected. Both houses are up, sided, we have ready for interiors are being done now. Both applicants are willing to do whatever the city requires in terms of the infrared hatch, so it blends. I understand there has been ordinance adopted requiring the homeowner to pay for the laterals for both water and sewer for the connection from the curb up to the main.
Right.
If that's in fact a requirement, that would be imposed, it's understood. And whatever else the city requires, they will do it to make the street appear as if it didn't happen, as best as that can be done.
Great. And part of this is the city's policy to look at old connections with the sewer and water lines in our street. A lot of the old water connections are lead connections, so as we go through that, we're getting them taken out.
And there is an inspection done when the trench is dug.
Yep.
And my question is, if those laterals appear to be satisfactory or better than satisfactory, do they need to be replaced?
Defer to Ed on that.
No, they wouldn't. If yours were certain our old galvanized lines.
The immersion room.
I believe over that. But certainly, and part of the process is submission to the water and sewer department. We send our guys out there to verify whether if it's a copper service, we deal with that D&D. If it's a copper service, at the meter, or the curb top, then we're good. My understanding, both properties have galvanized with the lead widths and should be lead.
So the contractor will notify Public Works when that was going to be done, so they can get that.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, that's,
all right.
My question is the contractor on Amherst.
Okay.
This is 51 Boardwalk, I think.
Right.
And he can, would like to add something, just.
Okay.
I just had a couple of questions. So the water department is out there, and it seems like the sewer connection is okay. In fact, we've already connected to that line. So are you saying that that's a galvanized line, that would have to be replaced also?
No, the galvanized line is
the water service. Right.
We'll make a determination on each existing service.
Okay.
So if the sanitary sewer is sufficient, we will not require a replacement. If the water, essentially what it is, it's evaluating whether that...
We've been told it's a three-quarter line for the water. We know, obviously, that's not good. So we would want to replace that. But I guess the only other thing I have to say is that we just found out about all this about 2 weeks ago. So maybe it'd be a good idea when you apply for a building permit.
We have made that change. So now, any application to the construction office...
Right.
One of the papers that you will be given is an application for water and sewer service.
Yes.
So it starts at the very beginning. So
right.
This change occurred, you were already in the stream. So we've made that change.
Okay. That's whether this is a moratorium or not, that deals with connections.
That is correct. Every new construction is going to have basically a request for the water sewer department to determine whether or not we have the water.
Right. And the other thing is, we didn't know about the moratorium. So
that was done by ordinance, and I think that's...
Yeah, after any street in the city is paved, you can't cut in.
Right, but I'm just saying that when I applied for the building permit, nobody said...
And that's all been changed as well.
All right, good. Because, it's good that it got changed because we wouldn't be in this situation. That's all.
Agreed. The purpose of what we're trying to do is to stop problems down the road.
Right.
If you're building a brand new house or renovating an older home and you're doing enough improvements to it, we don't want to have the stuff in the street, the sewer and the water lines breaking, and we have to come in and fix them at everybody's expense.
I totally agree with that. My main point is that
it has to be coordinated.
It's been rectified, but we didn't know anything about
agrees.
It when we started building that.
Completely agree.
And we appreciate Commissioner moving it up to a 2-week process.
The public hearing on this will be at our next meeting, February
27th. And notice is moved out in time.
Good. And we're working on that process too. We want to try and streamline this as much as we can.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming out.
27th?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the presentation of the park.
Thank you.
Jimmy, right?
Coming from you, that's good.
We're going to table the second item. Where that's hanging on the agenda. So we're going to push that to our next meeting. Dean Randazzo Cancer Foundation Resolution. Brady, you're here?
Yes.
I am. How's everybody doing tonight? Brady Mills, I'll make my presentation quick. I am the president of the Dean Randazzo Cancer Foundation, an organization that was founded in 2008. 2001 to raise money and donate it back to cancer victims in the community. We have three big events every year. One is a syrup contest that we have in Margate. The other is either a concert or a comedy show. This year is going to be at the Hard Rock Casino in November. And what I'm here today about is our Round the Island paddle. For the last 10 years, 8 or 10 years, we've had it at from the marina, Golden Nugget after party, and we'd like to move to Ski Beach. So we have about 120 participants on average over the last 10 years. Not all of them paddle around the island. I would say on average about 50 paddle around the island. And the rest do a fun paddle of 6 to 8 miles, something like that.
Fun.
That's still fun.
It's a couple hours. It'll take a couple hours, but it's fun.
Fun?
Yeah. Well, compared to around the island, it's
the one with a motor on it.
That's the family paddle.
That's the family. over the course of our existence, we've raised close to $1 million donated to people who have cancer and are in need of money. So I'm here for two reasons. One, to ask your permission to hold the event at Ski Beach this year, June 13th, and two, to see if you will be kind enough to waive the fees associated with holding the event there.
Okay. So thrilled to have an event here.
Yeah.
And we're, thank you for even approaching us on that.
Yeah.
You know, the Randazzo Cancer Fund, I've been to their events, not the paddling ones, obviously, but the fundraisers, they do a great job. They do a great work in our community and for the families that are struggling. So we certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
And Ski Beach is a great venue for it.
Yeah, we're glad it's being, you know, it's getting more play, it's getting more, people are starting to get used to using it. I have a little bit of a problem waiving all the fees, but I think we can waive the majority of them.
Yeah.
I think we have hundreds of events and they're all worthy causes, so it's not fair to put one above another in some ways, but it is absolutely a worthy cause. So your events call for a Type C event, $100, I think we could waive that. Ski Beach fee is $250, I think we can waive that. The refundable security deposit, I think that's more of a legal thing.
No problem.
And that's refundable, right?
Absolutely.
So that the temporary vendor, $50, I think you can waive that. The application fee is $25, I think we can waive that. The trash cans, $200, I think we can waive that. The barricades, I think we can waive that. The things that the taxpayers pay for are the police. So we're looking at a minimum of 3 hours at $250.
Yeah, no problem.
I think that's only fair to the taxpayer.
Counting that up, I had the same comment, same check mark. So it's about $805 instead of $1,500.
That'd be great. We appreciate that.
Were you same number, Tim?
Yeah, except I think I don't think we should charge for $50 for mowing.
We cut it anyway.
Yeah, we cut it anyway.
We can knock
it out. So I think we can just leave it at the police. That was suggested.
I think we
yeah, just the police and security.
Does that make sense?
Go with that.
We waive everything but the security deposit and the police waiver.
Yeah, right.
Okay. But you would still have to apply for special events.
Right? Yeah, fill out the forms.
We have filled out the forms, and I think Donna Peterson has emailed, I think.
Lisa, is it on the agenda to approve the event?
I do have a resolution prepared, just with Mr. McGuire adding verbiage in about the two items that they will be responsible to pay.
That's fine.
Okay.
But you also have the resolution to approve the event.
Yes, it's all on one. Okay. Yeah.
So you make a motion to add it to the consent.
Okay. Right. You want to do that now?
I thank you for your time and your waiving of the fees. Appreciate it. And everybody else involved and our recipients appreciate it as well. So
great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. All right, so motion to add resolution number 093 to our consent agenda.
Motion to add 093 to our consent agenda as described.
My second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So that's been added.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll make a note of that on my team. So now we open it up to the public for items that we've already talked about tonight. It's save the parking. Because I think you're going to redo that one.
Sure.
But anything else we're talking about, the beach, anything else you guys want to talk about, please come up, state your name, and
maybe we go a little more depth.
Tell us your concerns. Good to have people here.
Yeah.
We usually talk to ourselves here.
And then,
Hi, Amy Rutherford, South Melbourne. I still have concerns about the beach. You've got a lot of people that come with young kids, and if you ask the parents to set up camp behind the boardwalk, they can't see the beach.
We're not asking them to do that. We're going to provide that opportunity. What you're going to end up having to do is move to a different beach if the high tide comes up. We can't fix that. I don't know how else to answer that question.
We appreciate it. We empathize, but it's a natural. It's just like our jurisdiction ends at the bulkhead. We can't affect what happens in the bay, and we can't affect what happens over the dune beyond what the walkovers provide. So we can't sit on the dune because that's federally protected as well. So we are a beach town. We totally empathize with that. But
so where will be the beach to go to?
Well, only about six blocks that's affected. Six
to ten
blocks, you're going to have to go north or south. So I
got to go to Barney, really?
No. There's 6 to 10 blocks from Salem, Buffalo, Richards. So it's between the Margate and the Ventnor Fishing Piers. That's where we get our erosion.
That's where I am. Yeah.
But if you go north of the pier, there's no issues there at all.
If I go north of the pier, I need a parking spot.
Right. You're north of the pier. So
because I can't ride the bike with all the beach stuff.
Right. Understand that. But so we cannot take sand from anywhere and put it on the beach. We're not allowed to do that. Without getting permits like the Army Corps does, like the DEP grants, we cannot do that. We don't have the funding for it, for one. Where are we getting the sand? We don't have the ability to go hire a bar of dredge to dredge that material up and bring it onto the beach. I implore everybody to go look at historical aerials of this area. This is always happening.
I've got pictures hanging in my house.
There's one in the mayor's office.
Of us sitting under the boardwalk. I
right.
have that picture.
Right, correct. Right. The boardwalk in the 80s was the largest outside tideline.
Yeah.
This is the same beach line, really, that it's always been there. Just the dunes actually are keeping it back some. It's not ideal, but there's not a lot that we can do as your governing body. We've tried. We've sat down. Ed has had a meeting with the Army Corps and the DEP to look for solutions. And they said, look, we will fix it. We are on a 3-year cycle to get these beach replenishments. And they did it 2.5 years ago. We're on that cycle again. They somehow miraculously said they don't have to do it in the summertime, which is always what they told us in the past. Go figure, DEP changes their mind. So they're now able to do it in the off season, which is great. But it's gonna be either in the fall or the spring. It's not gonna be this spring. It's just not, the funding's not there. And that's a federal entity that funds this money comes out of the federal government to do these beach replenishment projects in FEMA.
So what will be the handicap accessibility from the Margate border to the fishing pier?
So we have several beaches that are handicap accessible. There
well, now they've got cliffs.
We will have. They don't have cliffs anymore.
Well, there was never handicap in that. The handicap access is at the library and at the tennis courts, and those still will have.
And don't forget. Hold the lifeguard headquarters,
yeah.
And they will transport anybody to any beach.
Right, that's what
we're
using. So they're still
going to be doing that. We'll figure out a way.
They will come get you at the beach entrance, and they'll take you to
maybe ride that buggy on the street a little bit.
Yeah.
But
we sympathize with them. But that's my son's beach, as I said. And this past summer, the lifeguard stand at high tide, full moon high tide, the back struts of that thing were sitting on the toe of the dune.
I saw, yeah.
And that's
my beach.
Yeah. I wish I had a better answer for you.
See where the fighting really went with Margate, too. They tried to fight the dunes, and that's the difference, and they lost. But they spent $270,000, I think, to spend that fight, and we weren't prepared to do that.
Thank you.
Hi. Is parking somewhere else allowed to this
government?
Yeah,
yes.
It's open forum, yeah.
Okay.
Other than North Beach?
Okay, yeah. This Janice Salva, 130 North Cambridge. I live cat corner from Ventnor on the Bay. I live directly across from a vacation rental by owner, weekly or less.
sometimes, down the block, another Airbnb, one right behind the Airbnb. One thing, when you were talking about that parking, one of the differences is the size of the cars.
Right.
Vehicles are, you know, 1.5 times the size. These streets are houses. I don't have a parking spot. You know, one car would fit in front of my house. But if somebody has a big SUV or somebody has one of these big trucks, that's a spot and a half.
Right.
Now, you bring in these weekly Airbnbs or vacation rental by owner, and where it used to be they'd come for a month and they would spread out their guests.
Right.
Now, it's all week. I have to tell you, all summer long, I never, after Thursday evening, my car doesn't move till I go to my Pilates class on Monday morning,
right.
Late Monday morning. It's ridiculous. I mean, unless I can walk, bike, or you come and get me, I can't move my car because I can't get back anywhere near.
That's everywhere in the city.
And that is everywhere.
We have the same issue. I live right here behind City Hall.
Yeah.
On Thursday nights, Fridays, I park my car and it doesn't move.
You don't have it. But you have a, you don't have.
I have off-street parking, so
yeah.
That's the car that will move.
Well, now that's the other.
But if there's on one of my vehicles on the street, it doesn't move.
Right.
Some homes don't have that.
And some, like across the street, they have two parking spots, but they'll put them on the street and leave it for their guests.
I mentioned that. I think
that they're on the bay. They put their cars on the street.
Oh, that's awesome.
My spot.
They have a lot.
Oh, they love my spot. I'm right at the corner.
Right.
You know, they're like, wow, how convenient. I can't get near my place.
Well, yeah, we can't really enforce bad behavior because that's what that is, and that happens on every block. Folks will park and straddle two spots, and then not park in their off-street parking.
Right.
And the effect ripples down to other people like yourselves that have no off-street parking. But that's something that we can.
For people who come with six SUVs
and
from
well,
one
here's
property.
The advent of the short-term parking. I don't know. Do you have any, what would you guess how many short-term parking units there are in that?
Short-term rentals.
How many do you think?
Short-term rentals?
Like they're
Airbnb.
How many do you think?
That's a generic term.
How do you think?
I think there's close to a couple hundred maybe now.
That's right. There's 250.
Mm-hmm.
And they're clustered in, they're clustered mostly in the Atlantic City side of the city, but they're all over. And that's something that the city never had before.
It's also, I've had to call about one of them behind me a couple of times. Just crazy behavior out in the backyard. They're not allowed to smoke in the house, so they're out in the back of the house, cursing, 1 o'clock at night. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
So we've had the discussions on the short-term rentals. We created an ordinance that requires them to get a mercantile license. They're essentially operating. The reason for you nod your head, but.
Yeah.
We don't know who these people are. We don't know who's renting these houses out. So now we have a mechanism
mm-hmm.
where we can go in and Mr. Agostino can do an inspection, get an occupancy load.
Yeah, I'm
find out
about all the ones on my block. Just so
right.
we know who they
so
are.
So we have an occupancy load. We have an owner. That if there's an issue,
mm-hmm.
we can go. We can, Chief Biagi will write a ticket. Our code enforcement can write a ticket. So when we had these discussions, Chief Biagi was like, we don't have a lot of complaints about Airbnbs.
We really don't.
We really don't.
If you do, you're welcome to call, and they actually prefer to call. But most of the time, the complaints are people getting in and out of cars at evening hour because they're here to enjoy themselves.
Early morning.
Or early. Early morning. However you look at it.
Yeah, it's the party for
but,
them.
Yeah, it is. And part of that is the nature of our town, right? We're on an island that's a resort community.
It's
and always
changed
had
a lot, though. It's changed a lot. I've seen a radical change since Sandy. In the density, in the craziness, in the partying, and whatnot. All right. Thanks.
If you have issues, please call the police department.
And what I have found is if I contact by email, like Vacation Rental by Owner or those places, sometimes they'll put them, they'll take them off for a couple weeks or whatever, so maybe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioner, also, if. You know, we've had people call, residents call to ask if a certain home has registered as an Airbnb or a vacation rental like owner. And if they, if we don't have anything and the resident's calling and saying this is an Airbnb, then we know to reach out to them. So if you know of, you can always call the construction office and see if they file for a mercantile license, and if they have it, then it's good for us to get that information from you, because we'll make sure they have.
Thank you.
Good evening. Matthew Boschek-Galabowski, 5000 Boardwalk, Unit 509. I've been a resident here for 3 years, and my balcony actually looks onto an abandoned house that I'm assuming has been left over from Hurricane Sandy on Austin. About 2 months ago, I think it has now has squatters in it, because the windows that have been boarded up and or sealed now are broken.
You know that address?
It's the third house from the beach. It's mauve, and it literally has, and my second part of the question was, how do I get somebody to look at it? And the second part
so
of it.
So here's a couple things. Just, yeah. Just the first part of it. We have an app on your phone called C-Click Fix.
Okay.
You download that app, take a picture of the property, it geolocates to that site.
Okay.
And it comes, it's a service through ACUA, the Utilities Authority. They will disseminate it, whether it's Public Works.
Okay.
If that's the case, it goes to Mr. Stinson. It also gets copied to the three of us. If it's code, it goes to Jimmy Agostino's office.
Perfect.
And then that way it's logged in, and then we can track it.
Perfect.
So if you see something like that, and this goes for anybody, you see an issue anywhere in the city, a pothole, a tree down, anything, take a picture of it and send it to C-Click Fix, because it works.
Okay, cool.
It gives us the ability to track it too.
Yeah.
So, and streetlights, if they're out.
Streetlights.
Yep. And the second part of that question is just that it has debris on it that's been there for 3 years. There's mattresses, there's comforters, paint cans, beer bottles, the whole porch is loaded with trash.
Get that address.
The photos will tell the story, and the code enforcement will be there.
Awesome. I'll get them tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
See Quick Fix. You can download it right now.
Awesome. Thank you.
Miriam Holtzman, 5000. I'm Matt's neighbor, and I've seen many of the sober houses, the kids who go into those homes, wander around the house that Matt is talking about.
Okay.
So we do see people going in and out at all different times of night. They don't even go on.
Yeah. So you guys have kind of ended up there on the sober living. If you're following any of this in the paper, there was a bill proposed by one of our assemblymen to, in our opinion, make it easier for these sober living facilities to operate in communities. I had the chance to sit down with Assemblyman Mazzio last Friday and voice our concerns with that. Beth, Tim, and I are certainly supportive of people getting better and getting the help that they need. There needs to be some limitations on how many of these can be located in a community. Right now, Ventnor has 23 sober living facilities in it. That's way too many. They are concentrating and clustering. There's three on Austin Avenue. That's unacceptable. So I met with the assemblyman, asked him to reconsider some of the things in that bill. I also reached out to Senator Brown. He gave his full support with some of the changes that we're going to propose.
So the city of Ventnor is going to propose to the bill?
Yes. We are, it's not essentially on hold, but it is, and they're going to have what they call a planning committee meeting. And I will be at that. So it's something that, and again, I'll say this again, there are people that need this help, and it works, it can work for people that need that help. But it can't ruin the rest of our communities. And that's what's real important to us and to you. We've heard comments, we had a hearing, and I don't know if you heard this, we had a resident step up like I've never seen somebody step up. And I'm not going to use his name because I don't want to put it out there. There was an application before our planning board for a sober living facility, which typically doesn't even have to come to the planning board. This one did because it needed some relief for something. This gentleman was in his neighborhood. He called the next day, reached out to the owners of the property that was selling it to the sober living facility, went down, met with them, paid $20,000 more than asking price to buy the property out from under the sober living group, and then had to pay a $14,000 penalty to get out of the contract just to save a property in his neighborhood. That's going well above and beyond. We applauded the gentleman at the planning board the other night, and you were there.
Yep.
And, you know, he did it because he didn't think it was appropriate for his street. And And there was a couple of them on the street already, so that was part of the problem. So.
And back to legislation, the other side from a public safety standpoint, there's a lot of missing pieces as far as whether these are just designated as something that needs to be inspected for life safety, right. And they're not.
Right.
So our department is also giving, we'll have some work for you to show them that what they should have is a bare minimum, things like smoke detectors and the ability to inspect these homes so that they're not.
They're inspected, not by us. The DCA inspects them and issues licenses. That's the problem.
Right.
So they're not local and they don't see the issues we have. So enough on that. But thank you for coming out. Thank you for raising the issue.
Robert 26 North Gulfside again. First of all, I appreciate the notion that people can call in, because the Airbnbs that I've noticed, it's always the one or two that are the bad ones. Many of them are very good, maintained, and involved. Then you get that one where the 16 people pull up from New York and they're there for the weekend and the neighbors are, at least if they can call in, because I've also been told that people that have Airbnbs that never registered them with the city. And I said, if you don't, you can get fined for that. It's a small fee, and I put it on the record, but people can do that. So I think that's moving along. Question about the dunes. I hope that we never see the day, and I know the dunes had a rule that you were not allowed to ever stop the tops from raising or going higher. And I hope that we don't see the day in Bender where you're going to walk down the boardwalk and not be able to see the ocean like it is in Atlantic City.
So we are
still set. Or?
We are permitted to trim the grass. And actually, if you watch what they did the last time they came in, there were some dunes that were getting taller than the rest.
Right.
And they leveled them right by the pier.
Okay.
They came in, they have a different model than they had when they first built the dunes. It's more of a template that is a longer template that goes out to the ocean more.
That's the answer. I mean, the word never goes that high, you know what I mean? So,
because we're all in trouble.
Well, I understand. And I always remember the Benoit family that lived right behind the Wawa. You stand for Wawa up to the right, and that was our pet. They were our poster children for the eminent domain battle. And their home, when it was built in the late 1800s, was oceanfront at the time.
Right.
Nothing else from there all the way to the ocean. The ocean wasn't there then, but it was still oceanfront, you know. So I'm glad to hear that. I have been tempted on a few occasions to go there late at night and rake some of the sand down, you know.
I wouldn't suggest
it. I had thought about it.
We have permission to do it from the DEP.
All right. Well, you know, it's a sin. I mean,
we can't touch the sand. We can trim the grass.
Yes, okay. So I hope when they trim the grass, maybe they might be able to level it a little bit. And I would never want us to see it go back to what Atlantic City is today. You cannot see the ocean from the border.
Those dunes were built that high.
Yeah, I understand. But they've grown with the sand, you know. So that's one thing. One thing, knowing the foot traffic we're going to have at the movie theater, and I've spoken to Tim about it, and I've asked this for probably the last 18 or 20 years, why can't we have the crosswalks painted on Bentner Avenue, all the crosswalks, to encourage people to walk through the crosswalks? They are on Atlantic Avenue. They are from here to Longport. But Bentner Avenue, I was told 3 or 4 years ago they were repaving. They were going to do that. So right now it's only at the red light corners. So if the crosswalks were painted, at least it would be a motivation. Because of that movie theater, there's going to be people crossing the street all over. So a thought. Any ideas?
Well, we applied for a grant to do that. We did not get it. We applied again this year. We're hopeful again. We don't want to spend our money if we can spend free money.
Of course.
That's what we're working towards. From Dorset to Margate and through Margate, the county is actually doing an intersection improvement program. And are they going to do crosswalks with that?
Only at signalized
intersections. Yeah, at the signalized intersections. The county will be redoing Atlantic Avenue. Or excuse me, Bentner Avenue from Dorset to Margate. Actually, they're going to go through there. But so at least we'll get some of those done at the county's expense, not ours.
Just out of curiosity, is that really a major expense to paint the crosswalks? A third of them are painted now, maybe even a half. Is that an expensive project for the city to do with their own men?
We don't do it ourselves. So what you do is you don't just paint them because it doesn't last long enough.
Yeah.
You use the thermoplast, which is what was used on Atlantic Avenue. And that's what lasts longer. It's reflective. And that's, you do it right. You just don't do it.
Okay.
That's been a problem in the past. You just do it.
Right.
If you don't do it right, it's not going
to. It does add up. I remember the cost of just about a person in the shape of a bicycle was like $1,000.
Okay. Two last items real quick.
Ed, Doug, and I met when we did our end of season and getting prepared for the new season, and I think we identified maybe a couple areas we can sprinkle them in there now, and then that end of town we still have to go through and finish up.
Right,
so, stay tuned.
In order to try to save a life tonight, Frankfort Avenue, if you're driving from Ventnor Avenue towards the Bay, which is probably going to become one of the most busiest streets in the whole wide world, because people are going to drive that way, that's the only way they're going to get to the parking lot of the movie theater. And there was an accident there last year where a lady lost control of her car, knocked over a stop sign on the right, as you're driving down on the right-hand side, there is a stop sign on the left-hand side. And if you're familiar, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but Winchester Avenue is over here, wraps around like this, and wraps around Winchester. So there is no stop sign. I've spoken to the police department, Public Works, there's a missing stop sign there. And knowing the traffic that it's going to be, maybe you can refer that to somebody, could put that stop sign back up, because it is probably the most abused. If you needed a new fundraiser for the city, I can watch 22 cars, 21 will not stop at that stop.
We can deputize you, Mr. Gover, and
Frankfort and Winchester. Yeah, right, it's right behind my home, and it gets in the driveway's way, but it'll save somebody's life, because kids come driving then down this way on the bikes, on Ventnor Avenue, or on Winchester, after coming back this direction. They're driving here, and they just run that stop sign, and they're around. So, just a thought. One other last thing, we're very proud of Stacy and myself and Richard Conklin are the main committee people, and Miriam is one. I would love to give Miriam credit because she came up with the name North Beach when we started that, and I always love to compliment her for that. She's usually embarrassed by it. But in any event,
here's the question. Did you call Atlantic City and say, hey, what are you doing? We already got that name.
You know, we are very happy that we didn't know about that. Okay.
I've said it.
Yeah, we're very happy, but Miriam said, and I always like to have a polite little fun with her accent, and she said, well, in Miami, there's South Beach. Why don't we have North Beach?
I like it.
So that's how it happened, okay? And to tell you the truth, I saw there's this rebirth in Atlantic City of North Beach. We've done a heck of a job in North Beach. And for your own information, this will be our third year of giving a $2,000 scholarship by our residents to one person that lives in North Beach.
That's great.
To either, we first honored Stockton because we were happy with what they were doing, and we opened it up because, believe it or not, this past year, there was not one student in North Beach going to Stockton. But I personally preferred Lanning County College because they are the needy people. And it's $2,000, $1,000 a year, and what we didn't want to do is give that to somebody going to Harvard. Okay, so we're very proud of it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? We're going to move on with the agenda. We're going to actually need a motion to close the workshop portion.
Motion to close the workshop portion.
A second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Aye.
Commissioner Langria?
Aye. Okay. So we have no minute. We're going to move right into our where we actually adopt the stuff we just talked about for the last 2 hours. Approval of minutes. We have none. Ordinance introduction. And a motion to introduce ordinance 2020-001.
Motion to introduce ordinance 2020-01.
I second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes. Okay. Ordinance introduction of, need a motion to introduce ordinance 2020-002.
Motion to introduce ordinance 2020-002.
A second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes. Also, introduction of ordinance 2020-003. Motion, please.
Motion to introduce ordinance 2020-003.
A second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes. Ordinance introduction of ordinance 2020-004. Motion, please.
Motion to introduce ordinance 2020-004.
Second. Roll call.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes. We have no public hearings on any ordinances. We have no ordinance adoptions. We have a public hearing on the street open, hardship street opening for 114 South Portland Avenue. So, motion to open public portion on that, please.
Motion to open public portion as described.
Second, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, anyone here to speak about 114 South Portland Avenue, the street opening? Sir, please come forward, state your name.
Hey, I'm Ted Leeds.
Mr. Leeds, can you raise your right hand, please?
Yes, sir.
Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and not the true self you got?
Yes.
Sorry.
I'm
resident of Ventnor, 1707 East Drive, the Ventnor Heights. And I'm a builder, Leeds Builders, and we're constructing a new home at 114 South Portland Avenue. And we have a hardship with a street opening permit, similar to the one Mr. Bailenson was speaking about earlier. In addition to determining whether or not the water and sewer lines need to be replaced, we are also looking to open the street up to bring in a 2-inch water main for a sprinkler system that we're installing in a new construction house. So it's kind of something new we've been doing in many of the houses. It's a safety measure, which we feel is a very good one for not just for the residents of the home, but also for the fire department fighting any fires in the house. So, but the water line that needs to come in for that residential sprinkler system is a 2-inch water line off the main, which is almost always dry and hopefully the only time it would go when called for with a fire. So
hopefully never, right?
Hopefully never. But the water needs to, the pressure needs to be there to be able to do that. So, and just noted that we would do everything in accordance with the engineer's requests, including that infrared refurbishment, which I don't know exactly what it is, but the guy that's going to do it for
us. Looks like a big toaster. It really looks like a big toaster that can put down on top of the asphalt, heats up the stuff around it.
Okay.
It blends in better with no seam.
Great.
Makes the road less tough.
So we'll obviously do everything that's required of the city to make sure it's put back together correctly.
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you. Anyone else have anything on this application for hardship? Seeing none, motion to close.
Motion to close.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We'll have a resolution on the next meeting.
Yeah, so your resolution will be on at our February 27th meeting.
Okay.
For adoption.
I wanted to make just one other comment that in going through this process, I had to first go into the Water and Sewer Department and met with Ed Stinson and a couple other individuals, and then went through the city and met with Lisa and this gentleman sitting next to Ed over here. And I just wanted to say that everyone in the city was very, very helpful, very polite and thoughtful, and we work in a lot of different municipalities, and you guys are doing a fantastic job.
Great, thank you.
And just wanted to let everybody know that.
Al, I've asked you to stop giving these guys these lines to say. we do appreciate that. I mean, we make a joke of it, but that's something that we pride ourselves on. We have people at work that make us look very good that work here every day.
It's good just to be greeted with a smiling face. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times when in Australia, see a builder come in, they're like, oh, this guy, you know, he's trying to, but like, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat trying to beautify the city.
Yeah,
and,
we
wanted to thank you all.
It's a beautiful project. Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted. All thanks right. for coming out tonight. So we have public comment on resolutions only.
We did that.
Yeah. So, is there any further comment on the resolutions we're going to adopt tonight? Motion to open it to the next one.
Motion to open public.
Second. Roll call. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anybody wants to comment on the resolutions? We got to take that out because we don't need that.
I think you did. I think it was my mistake. I might have just messed up the sign.
Okay. Motion to close.
Motion to close.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So resolutions we're going to do by consent, and that is going to be resolutions 2020-57 through 2020-093. Correct?
Omitting
082. Omitting 082.
082.
Okay. So I have a motion to adopt resolutions by consent.
Motion to adopt resolutions as described.
Second. Roll call.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes. Okay, that's 2.5 pages of resolutions. All right, bills and payroll. Al, you want to go through our...
Since our last meeting, we had 3 payroll runs. The first payroll was up from 117, it was $530,080.87. Next one, January 31st, was $504,919.53. And the last payroll just running for today, tomorrow, was $495,113.33.
And our bill list for today is $3,525,435.11.
Okay. Motion to approve bills and payroll.
A second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes. Announcement, safety report.
Read that to the...
Just read that.
No, just have it entered into the record. But I'm going to read it.
January 2020 reports, read it to the record as if it was read. Commissioner comments? I don't really have anything at this point.
I said my piece.
Yeah. I wanted to update about the sober living, and I got a chance to do that. So I do encourage our residents to reach out to our legislators and voice your concerns. They are elected county and district wide, so I would encourage you to voice your concerns with that, whether they be positive or negative. They should know our feelings, so I encourage you to do that. Open up to the public on anything that you feel like talking about tonight. Motion, please.
Motion to open public comment.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone? I think we're talked out.
I will repeat the program after the executive session.
Motion to close.
Motion to close.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Commissioner Langrath and Kriebel, there's more people here than we usually have. If you're going to go over the presentation again, there's nothing in the executive session that really can't wait till the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Would be fair. We encourage their participation.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion, Tim. Thank you. So, all right, we'll table executive session to the 27th, and motion for adjournment.
So those same two items.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Motion for adjournment.
Motion for adjournment.
I second. Roll call.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langrath?
Yes. That should have been just a
7:35.
Thank you.